Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
All I ever wanted was a little love. I want true romance, it's true.
Hello, and welcome to True Romance. We had to edit out Devin's introduction to this week's episode because it went... Hello and welcome to True Romance. Listen and shut the fuck up.
I thought that was charming, but I guess people don't like my personality.
Devin, you came to me this morning in what I would describe as a mood.
Well, I would say I sent you like six different text messages before that. And I'm like, all right, can we start at 12? Okay, you know what? No, we can't. No, it's 1 to 2 is fine. No, okay, it's... This is how I've been. Because you know what's so funny? You know what's so funny when you make plans and God laughs? Like, I went to dinner.
My higher power has a sense of humor.
My higher power has a sense of humor. Let me say one thing, which is that my cats in the new environment are so nervous. And I can see them walking around like little aliens, bopping their heads, like looking so confused. And it's breaking my little evil heart to pieces. But let me say this. So I go to dinner last week with friends. I say I'm moving on Friday. They say, oh my God, you seem totally calm. I said, yeah, it's really weird. I'm actually like not even stressed for this move. Flash forward. I'm in fetal position. There's movers in my house taking my stuff out. I'm in fetal position with my cats. Can't eat. Like something occurred. So now that I've been in therapy for a while, I can understand that. This is something from childhood is getting brought up because it's not normal that like movers arrive at my house. Nothing actually like went wrong, but like the movers are like in my space, like taking apart the bed and like making a lot of noise. And I literally like was sick to my stomach. Like I became ill, and then I was like in fetal position in this room. I was staying in a room with my cats because they were scared, and I like took all the stuff out of the room. So I'm in this like empty room with my cats. And I am in fetal position. My friend Haley sends the song Moving Out by Kacey Musgraves. And she's like, oh my God, Kacey Musgraves came out with a song called Moving Out on your moving day. I start playing it. I text her. I go, I can't even hear the words. Nothing's going in. Nothing's going out. It's like, you know, it used to happen with my dog, Eddie. Like he gets so nervous and overstimulated sometimes that he can't even react to food. Like you could put like a freshly roasted... you could put like a freshly roasted chicken in front of his nose. And when he's that activated, he can't even smell it and he doesn't take a bite. Like that was me. I was like, I can't hear the words. It's not sinking in. Nothing's affecting. I FaceTimed my boyfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Carolina was like, oh, is everything okay with your boyfriend? I'm like, yeah, unfortunately he is a victim though. I mean, is everything okay with him on my end? But he has been victimized by this experience because he FaceTimed me and he's like, how's it going? I immediately collapse into like ugly crying tears and he starts trying to give advice. And I'm like, I can't hear anything you're saying. It's not making any sense. Like I have to go. So then I hang up and I I actually at one point said to him, then he was like helping me move boxes and I hit my head. I hit my head on the door frame. And I was like, oh, I'm kind of scared. This is going to be like Natasha Richardson. Honestly, like that wouldn't even be that bad right now.
Wait, did you say both things?
Yeah. And then I was like, what am I saying? Like, am I okay? I think it's this. Something from childhood about being an inconvenience. So the two things that activated me the most were the loud noises and like the feeling that my neighbors are going to be like upset, right, which they already had been difficult neighbors. They like left me all these notes about putting my recycling in the wrong way. And then turns out I'm the common denominator, because then when I was like recycling my moving boxes, someone else who works in this new building came and like knocked on my door and was like, you have to put the boxes in like plastic bags. And again, that activated me where I was like ugly crying. And I'm like, I think it's something from like, I'm like something from childhood about inconveniencing people, disappointing people. I already know I have like this thing about like doing something wrong without realizing it. And like, it just like a lot of core childhood stuff came up. I will say this is something that was helpful. He had this show that he was supposed to go to. I was like, you know what? I can go to the show. Because I was actually remembering one time I was in a really bad state and my friend, you, Carolina, invited me to the movie Hustlers.
Right.
And that really helped me get out of it. And then another time my friend invited me to the movie Saltburn and it really helped. So I went to the show and I felt a lot better. I slept well. But then today I'm back in the minutia of like having, it's just like moving in New York, having to move, having to relocate from one apartment to the next. Like today I have to go back and clean out my old apartment. I also have to pick up a piece of furniture. I have to get rid of another piece of furniture. It's just like so complicated. And it's just a lot.
Yeah. It's so interesting. I think as women, we're conditioned to constantly make sure, or I won't speak for all women, but I'll say a lot of women are conditioned to make sure that you're never asking too much of people. You know, it's like why Joey on The Bachelor is so celebrated is because he's asking like questions and following up. Like we don't even ask men to like keep track of our problems and follow up about them.
Yes.
Like, and it's so funny because when anyone asks me if they can help with me moving, I always say no. I'm like, no, I would never ask anyone to help me move.
If I can give you my firstborn child in exchange, then yeah. But then I'm resentful.
So crazy to me.
But then I'm resentful because people don't help.
Well, I'm just more like, can I do everything in a vacuum and just bear the brunt of everything in different ways? And I don't think that's healthy. I think true intimacy is like asking for help. And I don't think I've ever done that in a relationship. Like really be like, I need you right now. Which is kind of crazy when you think about it. Like I'm like a 30, almost 34 year old. That's right. Teasing my birthday woman who's like never fully asked for help in situations because I both didn't believe that my partner would be willing to show up and didn't think I deserved that.
Right.
So I think that makes situations like moving very overwhelming because you like, without admitting it to yourself, believe that you can like only rely on a few people.
Yes.
Which is sad. That's just like another sad fact about being a woman in America.
In America?
I did have this crazy realization the other day, which may seem very normal to other people, but it's given me a sense of peace that is so amazing. So it hit me, and I can't say that Lala Kent, one of the stars of Vanderpump Rules, wasn't a factor.
Okay.
So Lala Kent is having another baby with a sperm donor.
So cool.
So cool. And she, I just like that, like, when Vanderpump was questioning her, she wasn't like, she was like, you can't change my mind. And she was like, I'm gonna fall in love again. I might have a baby with him. I'll have a lot of babies and I'll be really happy.
Yeah.
I love being a mother. Anyway, I just started thinking and I realized that if I don't meet someone and I'm 40 and I'm financially capable of doing this, I can adopt a baby. Or I'm not saying that's easy to do. I'm not saying you can just get a baby. But I can foster a child. I can adopt a baby. I can get a sperm donor. Like, there are solutions to building a family that do not involve men. And ever since I have really thought that and realized that, I've relaxed. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, oh, I've always thought like I'll be alone forever. And it's like, no, I can build my own family.
Yeah.
It's much easier to do that with a partner. But also, a lot of times people settle for partners that make it not easy. And you'd be better off on your own. And you wouldn't be in like a, you know, perhaps like a toxic co-parenting situation.
Totally.
And so I just like have been so relaxed. And it's made me so open for love in this really relaxed way where I'm just like, yeah, if love like comes into my life again, I will be so happy. But that's not necessary for me to live a fulfilled life.
Yeah.
Which I think is like radical in its own way, where I'm like, oh, I don't need a man. Like that they can be a lovely addition to my life. And like if they did enter my life and we did have a kid together, yeah, I would need them in a different way. But like,
but if I want a family, some dads may as well just not even be there.
I mean, some dads are just there to, this is not true for my father. He's a great dad, but I have seen some dads be more harm than they are like a good influence.
Yeah, totally.
I want true romance.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
So, okay, that's cool. I'm not sure how we got there from my move to talking about how you're your family, but that's cool. Cool. All right. Well, should we talk about Summer House?
Yes, we should. I was at a party last night where my friend was shouting at me about Summer House. And then we started shouting at a person who did not watch Summer House about Summer House. And I could tell they were overwhelmed. But even they were like, who is this girl named Lindsay?
Oh, my God. Who is this girl named Lindsay is... How do you even answer that question?
Okay. We are now in a series of a toxic relationship that's making Amanda and Kyle look like the Obamas in terms of healthy relationships. Like, Amanda and Kyle, this is the best thing to ever happen to them. They finally look like a stable, like, partnership on TV. Lindsay is an alcoholic, and there's just no way around it. And she, and the cruel thing is that this is not, this is consistently being left off camera.
So cruel. She is,
it's so cruel, and it's like, so, like,
how hard is it? We've seen the cameras in the cars. It's because they take Ubers. I'm like, can they not just hire, like, a driver so we can see this? It's not that hard.
It's really harmful. It's harmful, actually.
It's harmful.
And it is hard. And what's hard about it is that I know I'm on Carl's side, but I have to piece together what happened. And Lindsay, as she, and I hate to use this word because of how trendy it is, but as she gaslights the hell out of Carl, is like one of the craziest things I've ever seen happen. So yes. Lindsay, basically the gist of it is, consistently asks Carl, a sober man whose brother died of an overdose, what are you on? We find out later that Carl smokes weed. As someone who has smoked a lot of weed in my life, I know that that's not like hard drugs.
Yeah.
And it doesn't like change, like it doesn't change your behavior, except you might be hungrier and you might be like having trouble paying attention. I don't even know if
totally.
That's true.
Anymore. I know. Like there's nothing where you would be like, oh my God, what is this person on? Like think about, oh my- I don't know. I feel like 90% of like bodegas in New York now are like smoke shops. And like a lot of the time the person working there is like obviously high, which great. Like that's what I would do if I worked at a place called like Vape Galore. But I've never once had a problem with that person's behavior because they're basically just like slightly calmer than most people checking you out. Like, I mean, sorry, checking you out at the cashier. Like they're usually just like a little bit calm and laugh at my jokes. How about? Like I've never been like, whoa, brother, what are you on right now? Like, no.
So that's Lindsay's excuse. Carl is like, you are aggressive towards me. You've been drinking all day. Also, watching Lindsay drink, you think like, do you hate Carl? She is downing martinis in one gulp.
In one gulp. And can I also say, like, Lindsay is someone who I relate to in the sense that she seems to care a lot about, like, looking super hot. And all previous seasons, she always looks really hot. Like, she's always got, like, a crop top, like, showing stuff. And, like, there's nothing wrong with, like, not being that way. But I do notice that all of her clothes are not only, like, bad and loose fitting, they're also just like so wrinkled. Like I'm like, you just like pulled that out of the bottom of your bag, which reminds me of like being in college. And literally I've never been lazier about my appearance than when I was binge drinking, blacking out in college, because I was like, well, I gotta go out, so that's all I really care about, so I guess I'm gonna wear like these dirty jeans that are like soiled and like don't care, because I literally didn't wash my face in college. I didn't care what I looked like. I was just like, I gotta get out, show my tits, and that's it. And she's wearing these wrinkled, crumpled up things from like the corner of her bag, being like, Gabby, I'm going to just get another rosé.
Oh, yeah. And slurring like with every single sentence. Side note, I was at a party last night and told a story about pissing in a girl's bed when I was blackout drunk. And I forgot how dark that is. I forgot that like the room, it was like silenced the room. Everyone was like, oh, like that's horrible and disgusting. And I was like, yeah. So that's like another reason why I don't. That's like another yeah, anyway, so I don't drink anymore. It was so painful.
I hate when that happens. Back to,
I know, and I'm just like, oh, I forgot, like my audience isn't necessarily like the most fucked up people in America. It's like right. Pretty normal people who like have paid their taxes on time and such. But yes, so and constantly we're in the camera in Carl Lindsay's room. They haven't slept in the same bed for like 3 weekends in a row. They're getting married. And someone reminded me last night that at the last reunion, Kyle, out of all people, little prophet Kyle, was like, you guys are in the honeymoon phase right now because Lindsay's not drinking. And yeah. I'm really curious to see what happens when Lindsay starts drinking again.
Yeah.
And you can tell, like, Lindsay, I think, like, partially hates Carl. Like, I hate Carl really loves her.
Not even partial.
Like when he keeps barking like a dog, which I'll admit is annoying. And someone, she's like, if Carl keeps barking, I'm going to give the ring back. And Kyle goes, what? Like, it's like, why are you being so mean? And when they go outside, she's like closing her eyes. And Carl's like, hang out with me, babe. And she's just in her confessional being like, we're on top of each other. Like, you need space for each other. All of this is true. But it's like, you can be a nice partner.
But they live in like a huge apartment. She's like, we both work from home. I'm like, okay, you live in a giant penthouse and can afford to do like 80 like Barry's boot camps a day. Like, if you're hating each other when you have that much money, there's a problem. First of all. Second of all, what about when she's like confronting him about how his like sober sports bar business won't work? And like, of course it won't. And I would be really, really annoyed and struggle if I was dating someone and they were like, hey, so like, I actually think my brilliant idea for how I'm going to have money for our family is to have a sober sports bar. Like, that would be really tough for me. That being said, her being like, I have represented all of the top bars and restaurants in the game. And it's like, no, you haven't. No, you haven't.
Oh, it's like, you are make-believe a publicist. Like, you're a publicist. Like, I was, you know, a fashion stylist when I was playing Barbies as a kid.
Right. But also, she's like, I don't, whatever. So that, and it's also just like, I don't know, like, I have been with someone who I didn't respect their business and job at all. But I did my best to pretend. And when I couldn't pretend anymore, I broke up with him. I didn't let him break up with me and then act like a victim about it.
And he was a cop. Just kidding.
And he, yeah, I didn't respect what he did because his name was
Don Jr.
I know. I was trying to think of someone funny within the Trump organization, but I'm like, I like don't know who that would be.
It turns out it is important to like respect what your partner does. And it, by the way, that doesn't mean they have to do a fancy ass job. It's just like, are you a respectable person?
Yes.
And are you doing your job like with dignity?
Yes.
And whether that's like being high at a bodega, which I think is like a totally dignified position, or like, you know, being the son of the, like the worst president in America, which is, you know, not.
What?
Sorry. I
don't be anti-nepo, baby.
I hate to get political. But yeah, I was like, okay, that is like the stupidest idea. Like a sober sports bar, like anyone who's like going to pay like $6 to go drink a Diet Coke and watch a game. But
I will say some mocktails are really good though. And I will say,
of course, but no one's going to like collectively go and be like, let's go somewhere where there's no alcohol.
Let me say the calling card that I want to say, which is if you have mocktails at a regular bar, that's the best thing. Cause then it's like, not like I'm just standing here doing nothing bored and everybody else gets to have something fun. I just think that it's important for mocktails to be represented.
Oh, yeah. And isn't it interesting? I feel like in the last, I want to say 5 years, mocktails have really hit the scene. I think sobriety has gotten very popular. I'm not going to say Kyle Richards was the turning point, but like when housewives are on, like when housewives have started getting sober, you know, like it's really hit the mainstream.
I mean, I think Doja Cat doesn't drink. I think Miley Cyrus doesn't drink. I know J-Lo doesn't drink. I know Kim Kardashian is too boring to drink. So, yeah. Yeah.
There was a great old school episode of the Kardashians where Kim Kardashian decides to get drunk. And this is when it was like a good television show.
It was
and
brilliant.
And she gets so drunk and is like screaming. It's incredible. Now it's like might as well be a sponsored ad for like BBLs.
I know. But let me just say something also. When I see a BBL in real life, I love nothing more than seeing that. I'm just like, wow, that's a beautiful thing that you did that.
100%. I also would like to, it's so funny now I'm thinking back to a moment when I was thinking about like, would it be crazy if I got a BBL? And now I'm like, absolutely, what was I thinking? But sometimes we take a full flight from reality with some things like that. And I was
like,
watching BBLs on YouTube and it was really hard to watch.
It's also like once you're doing like Botox and then the people are like, oh, what about filler? And then you're like, all right, but then maybe like filler in my ass. And then you're like,
right.
You know, it's just a slippery slope, as they say.
Slippery slope.
What my mom said when I got my nose job. She was like, listen, this is a slippery slope. And I was like, listen, I'm done skiing. I'm done skiing with this. And then now here I am. I'm older. I'm like, I'm going to need a boob augmentation at some point. They're sagging low. I'm going to need a lot of other stuff.
Even my 34As are sagging low, which, you know, you don't expect anything worse to happen to you after having small breasts. But it turns out they can also, you know, touch your stomach. I would love to like feel fake boobs. And I really wish that would happen just because I felt silicone implants in like my doctor's office when he left. I was like immediately touching those. And I'm just so curious how they feel because I've touched like big boobs before, and I'm always like, wow, this is what I'm missing out on.
Yeah, wow.
You know?
Totally.
Yeah, wow. Is exactly how it felt.
Wow.
But Lindsay and Carl come to head. This is when you're like, I truly feel bad for this man. Like, he's like, she should be the one who asks me to talk, which is absolutely the case. She does not. She should be the one to apologize. Carl apologizes.
Like, I hate you can tell that.
He's just like wanting this to be over because she's his fiance. And you can tell with her, I'm like, for someone who wants to get married, you are okay burning this all down.
Yes. Yes.
Which is fascinating. It's like, she's fascinating. The one calling him a terrorist. He's like trying to defend her, but he has no leg to stand on because everyone's like, this is crazy.
I want truth.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's just so confusing too. Like, nothing's adding up. It's like, she's like, no, I didn't think he was high. Okay, I actually thought he was like smoking weed. Well, if you're allowed to ask me like how drunk I am, then I'm allowed. Again, like you said, it's like, all right, you are getting obliterated to the point where you can't have a conversation. And as someone who has been sober and dated someone who gets obliterated to the point where they can't have a conversation, it's infuriating. You're like, great. So you and I are actually not spending time together right now because you're in a completely different place and you won't remember anything you fucking say. As someone who has been told I love you for the first time by someone who didn't remember it, like, it's fucking infuriating to date someone like that. And it's completely different than being like, oh, like, by the way, when people are like high or have taken an edible, like, usually I don't even know. I'm like, oh. And I actually had a friend who was like saying that their partner like never notices when they're like, you just cannot notice that. So it's like completely different thing than asking like, oh, how much did you have to drink?
Also, he's a man, she's a woman. Like, I think it's respectful to like pay attention to how drunk someone is when you're like ostensibly gonna like be sharing a bed with them. I don't know. I think that's like respectful and important, kind of. I mean, I don't see the way he's doing it. Maybe he's doing it in a way that's not. But to me, I'm like, yeah, I'm glad he's like trying to keep tabs on like the fact that you're blackout versus her bringing up that he's like smoking weed. It's like she's trying to get revenge on him. It's so weird. She hates his guts.
She hates his guts. And yeah, it's just very confusing because I'm like, this is someone who consistently sticks up for you at reunions when like you are so in the wrong and you are just like the crazy person. I just like, yes, for a long time, I was like, I don't know why Paige and Sierra have such a problem with her. Like, yeah, like the thing making out with Austin at her birthday party when she knew that Sierra really liked him was like a weird thing to do. But I just felt like their hate was so like outsized. And now I'm like, oh, you must be such, yeah, a crazy person behind the scenes. When Paige was like, you, even Andy knows you're crazy. You threw a shoe at a producer. I was like, honestly, yeah, we're missing out on a, you know, better show, which is like Lindsay without the cameras on.
I know. And also like she doesn't take accountability for a single thing. And it's interesting to see all the other people kind of having that reaction of like, in the Scandoval like thing, the only person who really had a leg to stand on was Lala being like, I kind of said from the beginning that Raquel sucked and I don't fuck with Sandoval at all. But in this case, they're all like, yeah, this is what we've been saying about Lindsay. Like, Lindsay doesn't take accountability. She starts shit for no reason. She's like so overdramatic. She's like 0 to 100. Like that's how they've described her. And it's true. It's like that argument was going nowhere. And then all she does is say like, you're yelling. And it's like, but you're the one who's escalating this. It started as a calm conversation. It started with Carl's therapy language of like, let's keep things whatever. And then you're the one who's like, and you're allowed to talk about my drinking. It's like it turns into such a defensive, like childish place.
And like literally talking shit about him behind his back, being like, I know a darker side that nobody sees. And you're like, I can't imagine talking shit about like the person I was going to marry. Well, I think I definitely like have had relationships where I've been very frustrated with like my partner and have expressed frustration to like my closest friends. But I think like as I've gotten older, like I've really like loyalty and like sticking by someone and like keeping our issues private has been really important to me because I want that vice versa. Like if I'm not on my best behavior, which you like aren't all the time in like a long-term relationship, I don't want my partner like talking shit about me. That's like the bare minimum.
I know.
I mean, even Kyle and Amanda, they like, I mean, I think again, it's a relationship where the woman Amanda hates Kyle.
I know, but it's interesting. Like I do kind of feel like Kyle and Amanda talking shit about each other is slightly different. It doesn't seem to come from a place of hatred in the same way. Like it doesn't seem
true.
It doesn't seem to come from a place of contempt. It's more just like her complaining about him in a kind of endearing way and him complaining about like trying to do his best and it not being good enough and her not working hard. I don't know. It's just like kind of like a different story where I'm like, I do believe you guys will hug and kiss at the end of this day. And I don't believe that Carl and Lindsay will hug and kiss ever again. I don't believe that will ever occur again.
Well, speaking of breakups, I am so fucking excited. I think this will be so fruitful for True Romance, which is a show called The Valley, which is premiering.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
I was kind of doubtful. Like, I don't like, this seems so contrived. They should just have Jax and Brittany back on Vanderpump Rules. Like, they should just bring back Kristen Doty. Like, I don't know why we have to have a new show. Even Lala was like, we're friends in real life. Like, I wish we could, like, film together.
Yeah.
We see that Jax and Brittany are splitting up. And you're like, Brittany has finally had enough of this man. And, like, I'm impressed that she's lasted this long. Then we see the trailer. And I have not been so enthralled with a trailer since the mid-season trailer of Scandoval. Like, I watched the mid-season trailer of Scandoval where, you know, Ariana's, like, saying, like, I hope you die and, like, screaming at him so many times. And the Valley trailer I've already watched 3 times. And, you know, in the trailer, Brittany's like, we don't have sex. He's not attracted to me. There's couples that, like, the guy admitted he wanted a divorce on camera. Like, there's all these marriages, which are, marriage is just more dramatic than relationships. Like, there's just more at stake. I'm so excited. And I can't wait to recap it for the podcast. And I hope all of our listeners make time out of their precious lives and their, you know, time on earth to watch this show.
I definitely will be. As soon as I get my TV, that's the first thing I'm playing.
And I'm just like, Jax, much like Stassi, is a movie star. And when I say movie star, I mean
1,000%.
He's a housewife level. It's like Craig Conover. Like, you belong on television.
I agree. And I I'm sorry to say this, but I definitely feel that way about James Kennedy. And I kind of feel that way about Tom Sandoval, where I'm like, you know what you are doing. He's just not as smooth. He's not as smooth as like a Spencer Pratt with his acting, but like, he is giving us what we need.
I'm so excited. We deserve this. Like, us who are...
We need this.
I'm slugging through this season of Vanderpump, and it's really, like, harmful to my mental health to see, like, nothing, and just to see people fighting over, like, what I don't understand. Like, Sheena Shea sobbing. She has to sit back-to-back with Sandoval. Like, I'm just like, this is a waste of my fucking time.
And she's like, what about my problem? And then it's like, then Ariana goes on Watch What Happens Live, and Andy's like, so how do you feel about the fact that, like, Sheena said that she wishes... the Scandoval drama was about her. And Ariana's like, I love her very much. I'm like, all right, well then fuck off then. I just think like Ariana's not really that much of a star at all. I'm just kind of like, I don't care. You seem tired. Drink a coffee. Like, I don't know what to tell you. I would not pay anything to see her on Broadway. Sorry to say. And I'm sorry she got cheated on, but she just does. Her and Katie as a duo, I'm sleeping.
I like Katie. I have always been someone who sticks up for Katie. And I felt for her when she was like, I do not know why we're talking about Sandoval anymore. I wish I didn't come to this dinner. When she tears up, like, and she's like, this man interfered with my marriage, which I believe is very true.
Go be in your sad sack.
I really appreciated this scene because I know what it's like for friends a guy's friends to interfere with a relationship and to realize that your relationship, like a man won't stick up to you, to his friends. And like, when she just immediately teared up and was like, he convinced people I was a monster, even my ex-husband, I think I was like, this is, yes, like, he's a demon. She's correct. I mean, Sandoval is so funny because he's like too stupid to be evil.
He is like, so stupid when he hammers the wall and he's like, Scandoval. I was like, oh my god,
like,
no.
you so stupida. Well, I can't wait to keep our listeners updated, and I hope for better season. I hope like the mid-season trailer for Sandoval, I mean Sandoval, that may as well be what the show is called at this point, for Vanderpump Rules did get me a little optimistic, so hopefully we'll have more on that. I will continue to talk about The Bachelor. Kelsey A is my guest right now, and I'm really, you know, hoping and praying because I do love her as a person. She's such a dork. When Joey was like, you know, giving her the card to read for the fantasy suite, she took the key and goes, I accept.
Oh my god, that's so cute. Is she the one from New Orleans?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Yeah,
she's
I like
special.
Her. All right, well, I have to go because I hate my life, but I love you all for dealing with me at my worst and my best.
I love you, Devin.
Love you, Carol.
Was a little love. I want true romance. It's true romance. It's so romantic. Love me, baby. Don't leave me hanging. I want true.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like $1 million.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.